there is alive in this universe somebody who, if he could get permission tonight to put you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, to burn down your house, to kill your family, and send you to hell, would do so without batting an eyelash. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Satan. Tonight we're going to talk about Satan. It's going to be a negative night tonight. Not much joy or laughter in it, but he's one of our enemies. There's three enemies for the Christian. What are they? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Tonight we're going to talk about the devil. The only way we can defeat Satan, folks, is by knowing who he is and what are his tactics. I think there's a lot of misinformation, even among Christians. We go around thinking, some Christians go around thinking like the devil can't touch you. That's not true. We're going to find that out tonight. This guy, he's a fearsome being who can manipulate men and get the power to ruin them. He asked for Joe's family, and then he asked for Joe's health, and if he had gotten permission, would ask for his life. Satan is no joke. So, saying that, talking about Satan in hell, here's a little story I wanted to tell. This happened a few years ago, so the technology is a little on the old side. Anyway, a New York couple decided to vacation in Florida during the winter. Like my wife and I used to do that. And they planned to stay at the very same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. And because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left New York and flew to Florida on a Thursday. His wife was supposed to join him the following day on a Friday. Well, the husband checked into the hotel, and there was a computer in the room. I told you it was a few years back. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. And without realizing his error, he sent the email. Well, meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister of many years who was called home to glory following a sudden heart attack. Well, the widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. And after reading the first message, she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mom on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, 4 March 2018. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is not as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Well, I told that because we're talking about the devil and Satan. We're laughing at that, and you should. But in reality, Satan in hell is no joke. Let's pray. Our Father, we just ask your blessing on tonight's service, that the Holy Spirit would just do what he always does, Father, convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that you would be glorified through the message tonight, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, many people, I know not this group, of course, many people don't believe in a devil. They don't believe in a personal devil. In fact, there was a story about one atheist who talked to an older Christian, and he says, "I don't believe in that devil stuff. I don't believe in a personal devil." And the older Christian said back, "Well, if there's no devil, I sure like to know who does all his work." Amen. So the devil is not some make-believe character, folks, dressed in a red flannel underwear and with a forked tail and with horns. He's not one to joke about. And his existence and motive with respect to man is certainly not a laughing matter. He is the second most powerful being in the universe behind the Godhead. Other than the Godhead, he's the second most powerful being. He's the personification of evil, wickedness, and ungodliness. You know what his desire is regarding you and me? He wants us to see us end up in a lake of fire. That's what he wants for each one of us, everybody saved and unsaved. And if you take him too lightly, he'll lead you to hell and then laugh while you burn in a literal physical lake of fire forever. That's the devil. That's Satan. Satan, folks, is the ultimate enemy. And regardless of what you've been told, you have little power over him, other than to resist him with the armor of God. Now, we talk about the armor of God. Pastor talks about the armor of God all the time. Do you know what the armor of God is? Have you ever studied the armor of God? Why does the scripture tell us to put on the armor? We don't even know what it is. How could you put it on if we don't know what the armor is? That's what we have to do to defeat him. And don't be foolish enough to think that you can defeat him alone. You can't. In James 4:7, it tells us to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you can resist him, and he'll flee, but you have to submit yourself to God first. You have to do that first. So we're going to study this arch enemy of God, Satan himself. And maybe there's some things maybe you know about him. I'm sure this church, knowing Pastor and Bill, you know, you certainly know should know about him. But maybe there are some things you don't know. First of all, let's look at his origin. Pastor mentioned this last week. The devil, or Lucifer, as he was originally called, is a created being. The same God who created man created all the heavenly creatures, including Lucifer. Now, the Bible talks about angels, cherubims, and seraphims. Now, although there are some people, many people, who call the heavenly creatures all angels, I don't think that's scriptural or biblical. The Bible plainly indicates, to me at least, the difference in these heavenly creatures, and to place them in one group, I think is wrong. Lucifer, you know who Lucifer was? What was he? He was a cherub, that's right. He was a cherub and not an angel. He was not created as an angel, never referred to as an angel, and never will be an angel. You say, what about that verse in 2 Corinthians that says he's an angel of light? Is that what the verse says? The verse says he appears as an angel of light. That's because he wants to fool people. He's not going to come out with his real identity. He appears as an angel of light, but the Bible never says he is an angel. Never says he is an angel. So we're going to call a couple of scriptures right now. Turn to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. And when you read the verses, pay attention to what you're reading. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Everybody there? Ezekiel. That's after Lamentations. That's after Jeremiah. Ezekiel 28. And we'll pick up at verse 14. This is talking about Satan. Are you ready? Everybody ready? Follow me now. Thou art the anointed angel. Is that what it says? No. He is the anointed cherub that covereth. We'll talk about his covering afterward. And this is God talking, and he says, God says, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect, verse 15. You see that? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until when? Iniquity was found in him. Listen, he was perfect. How did iniquity get in him? He's in heaven. There's no sin. I don't know the answer to that. You know the answer, tell me afterward. But how could this being, be created perfect and then sin? Anyway, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will what? Destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Satan was created beautiful. And because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So here we have it just in a few verses in Ezekiel 28, a picture of the anointed cherub, Lucifer himself, his position where God placed him, his fall from that position, and his ultimate end. All right, hold your place in Ezekiel and turn over to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Now, Lucifer was created as a beautiful and powerful creature. He is created as a beautiful and powerful creature. As the anointed cherub, he covered the top of God's throne until he was cast down from that position because of his pride. Who said that? Excellent. Because of his pride. Where did it come from? You got me. Because of his pride. Are you in Isaiah 14, verse 12? All right, it starts out there. It's, how art thou fallen from heaven? And you know, I'm sure you know this passage. Here's another one of his, we're going to look at all of his titles tonight. He's called Lucifer, he's called the anointed cherub. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Another title, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? How did you fall, Lucifer? That's the question. And we have the five I wills. We heard about this. Pastor, you talked about this before, the five I wills. Pastor Bill gave the message this morning on the I wills of Psalms. This is the I wills of Satan. This is what he said. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation at the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Get this one. I will be like the Most High. Stop there. Satan had an eye problem. He should have seen a good optometrist. I will, I will, I will, I will. God says, no, you won't. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Notice, to the sides of the pit. Why the sides? It's a description of hell. He says, thou wilt be brought down to hell, to the side. That's the bottomless pit, folks. The bottomless pit is hell, to the sides of the pit. That's where he ends it up, ends up. And the sad part about it, folks, he's going to take millions with him. Millions that are deceived by him. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Lucifer was created as a cherub and not an angel. Are you still in Ezekiel? Hold your place in Isaiah. We're going to come back to Isaiah. But back to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. Everybody there? Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans. Let's all that say the next four words together. By the river Chebar. Don't forget that line there. By the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Verse 5, and also out of the midst therefore came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. So who did they look like? A man. Thank you. It's easy. Just follow the scripture. Verse 6, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. I mean, the Bible is the most wild book you ever read. You think these horror movies are something? You ain't never read nothing until you read the Bible. A description of these things, whatever they are. Verse 7, their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Verse 8, they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everywhere straight forward. Verse 10, and for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, who were these things? Doesn't say there, does it? Turn to chapter 10 of Ezekiel. Chapter 10 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 20. Chapter 10, Ezekiel 10:20 says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by where? The river of Chebar. These are the same creatures he's talking about here. And I knew that they were the cherubims. This is what Satan looked like when he was in heaven. And the likeness, verse 22, of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward. So how many faces did they have? How many wings? All right, four wings, four faces, Angels are never like that in the Bible. Angels are wingless, and they always appear as men. There's no women angels in the Bible. They always appear as men. Now, we went to a flea market, or not a flea market, an estate sale Thursday, and this whoever the house was, half the things in this house were all religious articles. She was, whoever it was a Catholic. And they had pictures of angels and statues from this tall to this high, all over the house. And I was going to buy some. They wanted so much money for these things. The angels they had there, pictures of them, all angels of women with long flowing hair, with wings. Show me one angel in the Bible that's a woman. They're not women. They're wingless. They are wingless. Okay, they always show up as men. Remember the two angels that appeared to Lot in Exodus 19? The two men, they appeared to Lot and told them of the forthcoming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What were they? Angels. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, two men were there. When the woman went to the tomb, what were they? Angels. That's in Luke 24. And two more men showed up when Christ ascended into heaven. Who were they? Angels. They always appear as men in the Bible. Wow, look at the looks. Like a tree full of owls. I was stunned too when I found out. I didn't believe it when I first heard it. I checked the whole Bible. There's not one angel mentioned that's a woman. Not a one. So I believe there's angels, there's cherubim, and there's the seraphim. Seraphim, back to Isaiah. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Now they have archangels, but that's another sermon. Isaiah 6. In verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2, above it stood what? The seraphims, each one had six wings with twain. Twain is two, of course. With twain or two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. That's a description of the seraphim. Once again, these creatures are nothing like the men who appeared as angels. You got those overheads? Ready, Josh? All right, hold it right there. What would that be? Cherubim, right? Cherubims, that's an artist's description. What do you think the cherubim look like? Four wings and all look like a man. See the hooves? That's what Satan appeared like when he was in heaven. Wild stuff, man. Incredible. All right, now the next one, Josh. Now, what do we have here? Which one's the cherubims? Which one? Right or left?
Right.
The other ones are the seraphim. You know how I know? It says right there down the bottom, seraphim and cherubim on the right. But that's an artist's description of what he thinks. Who knows what they look like? But that gives you an idea of what these things look like. Angels, nothing like that. So that's what Satan looked like. We're talking about Satan. He looked like the thing on the right-hand side there. All right, so let's look at some things about Satan. We just looked at his origin. Let's look at number two, his nature. What is he like? What is Satan like? Well, you probably know a lot of what Satan's like. Let's look at a couple of things. Revelation 12:9. And see if you can pick out some more titles here in Revelation. Revelation 12:9. Ready? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So give me four more descriptions of him, four more titles from that verse. He was a what? A dragon, serpent, devil, and Satan. Four more titles. And by the way, that's his present condition, a dragon and a serpent. And he's thrown out of heaven. He's not a cherub anymore. He got thrown out of heaven as a cherub. became a dragon and a serpent. So what is he? He's a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, look at, called the devil and Satan, which what? Deceiveth the whole world. Does that include you and me? What's that? Would that include you and me? How do you know? It says the whole world. That includes me and you. We get deceived by Satan, folks. You have to admit it. It says that he deceives the whole world. He's a counterfeit. The one he envies and counterfeits the most is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus Christ is, he wants. He's a counterfeit of. All right, so he's a deceiver. Secondly, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Pastor mentioned this last week, this verse. Satan, second thing that, first of all, he's a deceiver. Secondly, Satan desires worship. You think he'd be satisfied with where God placed him in the heavenlies, with the position that God gave him and all the attributes that God gave him? You think he'd be satisfied with that, but no. He wanted to be equal with God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be worshipped because of his pride. And by the way, in Job 41:34, that says that Satan is king over all the children of pride. If you have a problem with pride, guess who's your king? Folks, Satan's a false god, and because he is temporarily in control of this earth, he is called what? Well, let's read the verse. That's right. God of this world, the god of this earth. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, is another title, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he's in the business, folks, to deceive and blind all lost people so they wouldn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has many tricks and devices that he uses along with the world and the flesh to confuse, blind, and damn the lost. So he's a deceiver. He desires worship. Thirdly, Matthew 13 in one hand, Luke 8 in the other hand, and Acts 26 in your third hand. I'm only kidding. We'll start off with Matthew 13 and Luke 8, and then Acts 26. Thirdly, he's a thief. He's a thief. He'll steal the word of God right out from under your heart to keep you from being saved. Now, Matthew 13 and verse 19. This is the parable of the sower. This is very familiar. Parable of the sower. Look what it says. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh who? Another title. The wicked one. Then cometh the wicked one. That's Satan. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Come over to Luke 8 and verse 12. It's the same parable. Just a little different. Luke has it a little different way. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. There it is right there, plain as day. Now, in Acts 26, Paul describes his job and ultimately our job concerning this. You can turn over to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. Well, let's go to verse 17. Well, verse 16, get the whole context. Chapter 26, verse 16 of Acts says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet." This is the Lord talking to Paul, "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee," here it is, watch it, verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from what? The power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's our job, to turn people from the power of Satan unto the glorious gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. What a ministry we have. Fantastic ministry. So he's a deceiver, he desires worship, he's a thief, and also we can't go to what John 8 says, he's a liar and a murderer. So if you're a Christian, your father is who? Your father is God the Father. That's who your father is. If you're not a Christian, your father is the devil. Well, you've sure got some father. You're not a Christian. You got a father that's a deceiver, he desires worship, he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a murderer. Lastly, number four here, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, he's like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring liar. Now, if you're already saved, folks, if you're already saved, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will do his best to destroy your Christian life. Don't ever think you can handle Satan by yourself. His goal is to ruin your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to destroy your testimony to the world. Listen, folks, the last thing Satan wants is for you to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit and to be a happy, soul-winning Christian. This being will stop at nothing to discourage you and make you a miserable, backslidden child of God. And boy, we're filled with them. Pastor Bill was talking about that this morning. Filled with them. People just left the faith. They're backslidden. Look at where are they? Where are the Christians in this country? Satan's having a heyday here. He knows just how to push your button. The guy, you know, he's been around a long time. He knows how to push your button and your button and your button and your button and you back there too. And my button. Hey, listen, I admit it. I fall, man. I need God daily. I am a weak person. 1 Peter 5, 8. Let's read it. 1 Peter 5, this is talking to Christians. Look what he says. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, another title, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is to the Christian. Why does he keep telling us to be watchful, be vigilant, to resist if we had an easy time with the devil? Listen, you say, Dick, I thought the devil was a defeated foe. He is. He's defeated. With his teeth let loose. But that defeat doesn't come till the millennium, after the millennium. Right now, he's alive and well on planet Earth. He's defeated, okay, but that doesn't happen until much later. He's having a heyday. Sober. What's it mean to be sober? Serious. Be serious, he's telling the Christian. Be vigilant, watchful, be on the lookout. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, Satan is likened to a lion, the king of the beast. Satan is likened to a lion. Anybody ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? He's on TV. He's been on TV a long time. I've been dealing with this, with that guy for years. The guy is off the wall totally. I wouldn't give him the time of day if he asked for it. I really wouldn't. He says Satan's not like a roaring lion. He said, if Satan walked in that door right now, I would grab him by the tail and tie a knot in it. No, he wouldn't. You know what Satan's likened to? A 900-pound, hungry African lion. I'd like to see him tie a knot on a 900-pound, hungry African lion. And let me tell you, if that 900-pound lion, hungry African lion ever came through that door, you see that door there? I'd be the first one out. After you. You don't fool around with a lion, folks. And he's not only likened to a lion. What kind of lion is he likened to? A roaring lion. Now, there was a missionary. I read about a missionary who was a missionary in Africa for 30 years, and he had a lot of experience with lions. And he said he never got used to a lion's roar at night. If a lion roared at night, he would wake up in a cold sweat. Now, the only lion I'd heard roar, besides that one at the zoo, was when I was a kid, or in the movies now, too. You ever see that lion that roars in those movies? When that lion roared, my father took me to all these scary movies, you know, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, you know, and that lion roared, I would just hide in my father's shoulder, man. I was scared to death of that thing roaring. Roar! Well, that's what he's likened to. You don't want to mess with a lion. So, number four, he's like a roaring lion. So he's a deceiver, he desires worship, he's a thief, he's a roaring lion. Thirdly, his devices. his devices. Satan uses many tricks and devices. He's tricky. Ephesians 6 and Mark 5. Ephesians 6 and Mark 5. Other than his personal power, his greatest weapon is that he doesn't work alone. The devil has plenty of help. He is called the prince of the air, and he's the king over a multitude of other devils, unclean spirits, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. This is Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That means we don't fight each other. Flesh and blood are humans. That's me and you. We don't wrestle against one another, really, in reality, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness in heavenlies. There are things going on right above us now. We can't see them. Powers and principalities, that's who our battle is with. It's a spiritual battle out there. Why? We're two-thirds spiritual. We have a body, it's physical, a soul, and a spirit, it's spiritual. Our battle is spiritual, it's not physical. Look what Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We say, well, we don't wrestle. How come? Paul said, I fight the good fight. He was in a fight. He also said, be as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're in a battle, you're in a war. We're known as soldiers. Folks, this is not some picnic we're going through. This is not, you know, we're not in some wedding like a flower girl just going through life. People, there's heaven and hell. We got to do our best to win people to Jesus Christ before long. I think it's not that the balloon's going to go up pretty soon. So this is a wrestling match. And our protection against the devil and his workers, of course, is the armor of God. Where do all these demons come from? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. My guess is that when Satan fell, he said Satan and his angels, they were all angels. When they fell, they became demons. And by the way, devils is the King James Version word. There is no demon in the Bible. Now, we know what we mean when we say demons. We use the word, but biblically, there is not a demon in the Bible. It's devils. What they did was take the new translation, they took the Greek word daemon and made demon. They never transliterated it. They left it as the Greek word. But the word is devils. You can have the big devil, Satan, and little devils. We have God, the main God, and little gods. Why can't you have devil and little devils? That's what the word is. So, the Bible doesn't say where they came from, but they're real. I believe we have demons. There are devils and demons going around today, and let's look at our world. People just going bananas. Jesus dealt with them all the time, didn't he? He faced them, he talked with them, he even cast them out. Mark 5 is the classic chapter on this. Turn to Mark 5. This is the definitive chapter, I believe, on demonism and demon possession. You want to know what demon possession is and demonism, then study this chapter. Now, Matthew, this is the maniac of Gadara. Remember that one? I'm sure we all know the story. In Matthew, there's an account of the same account in Matthew where two of men are named. Mark only gives you an idea of one. Mark 5. Now, it's interesting about this. We can't go through the whole thing. Really, time is really going. Mark 5 and verse. When they confronted Jesus, did they know who he was? Yes, they did. Look at verse. Let's see, verse 7. Well, verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Demons believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. You won't find a demon that's an atheist. You say, well, I don't believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I believe in God. Well, you're no better than an atheist. You're no better than a devil. You just believe in God. Devils believe in God, according to James. The demons, you know, we won't find a demon that's an atheist. They believe in the Most High God. Now, we know from Scripture these unclean spirits are intelligent beings with supernatural strength and knowledge. They can often accurately predict the future. They can cause blindness, dumbness, insanity, suicide. A person, how many can a person be possessed? How many can go into a person? Anybody know? How many? What's legion? Let's read it. Matthew, Mark 5, right? Mark 5 right now, right? And it says, verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are what? Many. Now, a legion back in Rome, the Roman legion was between anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers. But if you go, let's keep reading here. Verse 12. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. Remember that story? That we may entertain them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, verse 13, went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 swine that went into the water. So this one guy had probably 1,000 demons in him. Well, that demon, those demons can't be a little more, any bigger than your little finger. 1,000 demons. The other guy had another 1,000, 2,000. And that's the, where we get the first phrase of devil tam. Hogicide. So it's a lot of demons can enter in one person. Thousand of them. Demons are described as winged creatures and likened to fowls of the air in Matthew 13. They're also supernatural demoniac creatures in physical form coming out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. Have you ever read Revelation 9? And it's not known if they're around here nowadays. 1 Timothy 4 is our next passage. Okay, Marty, I'm coming in for a landing. Just be careful here now. Many people are hindered and oppressed by these unclean spirits, don't even realize it. They affect the body as well as the mind. And do I believe that Christians can be possessed by a devil? Well, I'm not turned off to that. They certainly can oppress us, can't they? They certainly can oppress us. And as far as possession, the only thing they can't get is our soul. That's already saved. Our bodies aren't saved yet. So why can't they come into our bodies? That's just a question. What's that? Holy Spirit isn't in our bodies. It's in our hearts, in our soul. Holy Spirit doesn't come in your body. Your body's not saved. When you die, what part that stays on the ground? Your body. Your what? Spirit's in your body? Okay, well, I stand corrected. All right, well, let's live. What am I saying here? Okay, I'm just trying to see. Unclean spirits are associated with excessive and compulsive crying. Look at verse 5. This maniac is always night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. They have suicidal tendencies, their opposition to God and godly people. Unclean spirits are associated with depression, drugs, alcohol, unspiritual music, pornography, hatred, witchcraft, divination, sorcery, necromancy. Anybody know what that is? Pretended communication with the dead. And false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. I believe we're in a critical time in our history, and I believe these are the last days, and I believe demonic activity is at an all-time high. Guess where they finally end up? Look at chapter 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, I believe we're in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. This is our faith. This is the Christian faith. A lot of departure from the Christian faith, giving heed to or paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some people call these theological demons. They teach doctrines, and the doctrines they teach, they quote from the Bible. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil appeared to him? What did he use? Quoted the Bible. Totally off the wall. He didn't quote it right, but they quote the Bible. I'm going to give you some other doctrines of demons, I believe. I made a list of them. All Bible versions are as good as the King James Version. Doctrine of double. To get right with God, you have to have faith and works for this age. Repent means to change your life or your conduct. Water baptism is needed for salvation. These are all doctrines of doubles. Muhammad is God's prophet. There is no hell. There is no devil. Hell is the grave. Women can be pastors of New Testament churches. The Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. We are now in the tribulation. Jesus Christ is not God. The Catholic Church gave us the Bible. All religions lead to God. That's a good one. Allah is the true God. The unpardonable sin can be committed today. Christian Science is Christian and scientific. Christian Science is like grape nuts. Not grape nuts or nuts. Christ did not rise from the dead. Scientology is Christian. And there's a million more like that. All the cults and isms and spasms and schisms that goes on in this world. Well, let's finish up. Don't think that you can defeat Satan by yourself. You can't. The devil is as wise as a serpent. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's been around a long time. He had no trouble getting Noah to get drunk. He won't have any trouble with you. He had no trouble getting Simon Peter to swear and curse. You won't give him a hard time. He had no trouble taking a man after God's own heart, David, to commit murder and adultery. He'll finish you off. The devil is a force to be reckoned with, and a satanic force that is brilliantly intellectual, rational, scientific, and persuasive. Very, very dangerous. That's because we're Christians. There's some verses I wanted to go through. We can't go through them tonight, but there's some definite verses that show us that Satan has filled his heart. Ananias and Sapphira, remember that? Satan had filled their heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. He filled their heart. That's pretty close. That's pretty close inside to me. Pretty close. And there's other verses like that. Well, if you know, I don't know if there's anybody in this crowd that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've always like to give an invitation. You have to trust Jesus Christ. You have to make him your Father. I trust everyone here is a Christian. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's very simple. You know, it's not a big deal. People make it a big deal of getting right with God. If you want to go to heaven, you trust Jesus Christ. If you don't, you trust something else. That's as simple as that. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, period. Muhammad didn't do it. Buddha didn't do it. Allah can't do it. Jesus Christ is the answer. How do I know? I believe in this book from cover to cover, including the cover, because on the cover it says the Holy Bible. I believe in a Holy Bible. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful again for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what's in it. We pray, Lord, that we would be workmen that needed not be ashamed of rightly dividing the Word of truth. Help us to be your workmen, Lord, to know what this book says, to apply it to our lives, help others to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us to identify the devices that Satan uses, to know when it's he and not some false spirit. Help us to know that it's the Holy Spirit rather than Satan. Help us to know what he's about, and to defend ourselves by resisting him, putting on the armor of God, and giving you the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Oh, I got to make an announcement. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead. Yeah, you're coming up.